lifestyle, my don't podcast. Living life, every day click podcast. Living on purpose, stuff rolling up podcast. Wake up in the morning, 10 o'clock podcast. Sipping on purpose, stuff. Sipping on purpose, stuff. What's up, sipping on purple? You are now listening to episode 003 of this podcast that we don't have a name for. I'm Roger. On the other end is Loretta. I said it already. Beat you to it. Anyway, we still obviously have no clue what we're doing since we still don't have our introductions timed out well or any real idea how to start these besides being awkward. But eventually I think we'll figure this out. By episode 34, I hope to have everything sorted out.
Yeah, we're making slow but steady progress.
I was actually pretty unclear there was another person in here for a good 8 seconds. But anyway, we are coming off of last week when neither of us had any idea what was going to happen to Northwestern football. And now we appear to have some sort of an idea because Northwestern actually first of all, last week we were still wondering what the deal with Dan Persa is. And a lot has changed because now we're still wondering what the deal with Dan Persa is. It's just we now know that Kane Coulter is also a human being who plays football.
Yes, and can throw the ball reasonably effectively.
That caught everybody off guard, although not like a bad thing because Northwestern actually ended up winning, which this time last week you were not so sure about. Are you in eating your words mode? Are you surprised or shocked?
Odd. I'm very surprised. I can't say I'm really that surprised that they won, although I didn't think they were going to. But I sort of didn't think they'd get blown out or anything. But what really surprised me is how they won the game by running the ball and stopping the run, which were their two biggest weaknesses last season.
Yeah,
run the ball as well as they did against a run defense like Boston College's is shocking to me almost. I mean, I don't think anybody saw that coming. Even the people who thought Northwestern were going to win thought that they were going to do it because Kane Coulter was – actually, I'm not really sure how they thought they were going to do it. I guess I thought Dan Persa would play or something.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I don't know, but
there was a real wide range of things said about the game, but none of them were Northwestern is going to, you know, pound it down their throats, and on the other end of the ball, you know, Chase Redding might go off for nearly 400 yards, but at the end of the day, the game will be won in the trenches by Northwestern. I feel like something we very briefly touched on last week, but probably ended up being the deciding factor, is Boston College graduated some really talented offensive linemen. And on the line of scrimmage, on both sides of the ball, on defense, you know, Northwestern kind of overpowered, you know, their offensive line who had those graduations. And on offense, you know, they were just, you know, I examined this in a few posts earlier in the week. There wasn't really any pressure there, and Northwestern just kind of, you know, manhandled them at the line of scrimmage.
Right. They were a couple times in the first half they got some pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah,
but sacks, but other than that, yeah, they really dominated the line of scrimmage, which was great to see.
I can't recall a game against a BCS opponent where, you know, that doesn't happen that often for Northwestern.
Not at all.
I mean, there have been games, you know, with, you know, Tyrell Sutton would go off every once in a while, but it was really just both sides of the ball. That size, strength of Northwestern kind of overpowered, and that's not what you see. Normally, it's a finesse type of thing, and no one called that. Even in the million ranges of predictions, that was not something anyone expected. So I don't think any of us have to really eat our words, you know, having seen what happened on Saturday.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess I kind of expected that. I think I said this last podcast that I was expecting Northwestern trying to come out and establish the run and continually get tackled for losses on first down and be in long yard situations, and that didn't happen at all. That almost never happened. I mean, how many times in the last couple of years have we seen they run that same trap draw out of the shotgun and it gets tackled behind the line of scrimmage?
Yeah.
That's the Arby Field special, but not even just him, really all the running backs. And that I can't recall that happening once on a handoff for a running back. Coulter got hit behind the line of scrimmage a few times, but
yeah, normally they try and sell those plays, and you're right, they continually come up short. maybe you know, again, a gain of 3, gain of 5 here. But Northwestern was continually picking up yards on that. And there was a stretch, you know, first maybe quarter and a half, nothing was going for Northwestern. But then they ran off, you know, 2 80-yard touchdown drives in a span of like 7 combined minutes. And there was just everything was working perfectly. And we can talk about how great the running game was, but another surprise is just defensively, they did the job. It's not like Northwestern put up, 30 or 40 points. You know, the defense also came through, and in the red zone was spectacular. You know, I mean, obviously the BC kicker had his share of mishaps, but that wouldn't have been an issue.
That was definitely a big factor in the game, those two missed field goals. But yes, the red zone defense was very good, especially to keep them out of the end zone in that first drive was huge.
When you look at BC's touchdown drives, they have the one in the fourth quarter, but the other one was just the 2 yards after a quick turnover by Kane Coulter. So there was really only the one sustained touchdown drive by Boston College. They had a few big plays, but there was no real, you know, grinding down the field, you know, 7 yards a carry like typically happened against Northwestern's defense the last 2 years. So that's really encouraging.
Really, yeah, it looked like we were headed that way, too. After Bondra was broken on that first run, I was like, oh, he's going for 250 today. Easy, you know, I mean, it certainly looked that way.
Yeah, there was definitely probably some Mikel LeSure thoughts going through everyone's mind at that moment in time. Because, you know, as if they almost wouldn't need Turon. Well, they had the his 69-yard run, and then the next time they ran it again with Williams and went backwards, and then they threw 2 incomplete passes, which seemed confusing, but I'm pretty pleased with the way, you know, when the goal line started creeping up on Northwestern, they came through. Just really a lot of encouraging things. I think now the question that, you know, Northwestern fans have to ask themselves is, very encouraging game. A lot of things went well offensively and defensively. A lot of things we're not used to seeing. A lot of players who, you know, maybe weren't expected to have great games. You know, Kane Coulter being the obvious one, but, you know, also the line. The question is, what type of caliber opponent is Boston College? Obviously, probably the best opponent Northwestern's had to start the season in a while. But, you know, how much are we looking into, you know, this win to, I guess, you know, gauge how the season could go?
I think it's probably a little too early to say. I think that if Boston College is the same kind of team that they were last year, which is, I think, they won 7 games.
Yep.
If they're that good, then I think this is a very good sign. Of course, I think it's definitely, with all the injuries BC has, I think it's definitely pot. And I mean, especially considering the fact their secondary is, you know, a patchwork unit, and their running game doesn't appear, at least based on the Northwestern game, their running game appears to have taken a step back. We'll see. I was looking at the lines, and I see they're 7-point underdogs against Central Florida this Saturday, which maybe Central Florida's a better team than I thought they were, but that doesn't seem like Vegas thinks very much of Boston College.
No, yeah, I really think, well, they had also moved the, if we're determining, you know, using Vegas as the judge of what is correct in college sports, they did move the line significantly for Persa, not significantly, but I think it jumped 2 points there after he was ruled out. So I think that anybody views, you know, getting beaten by a team without their star quarterback as, you know, this team is in trouble. But I really think Boston College, maybe it's just me being a, you know, eternal optimist, but I don't view them as a bad team.
We'll see. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, they have at least made it to a bowl game for, I think, 12 years in a row. So,
which to a Northwestern fan is like incomprehensible.
Right, that's more bowl games than we've been to in our histories.
Wow, I actually hadn't thought of it that way. I think we're going to take a 3-minute break for me to just cry uncontrollably right now.
That reminds me of a moment we could talk about, I guess, some of the scenes around Boston College before the game when I was at the bar with the guy who runs FireableCarmody.com and a bunch of his crew. And his wife was there. We were talking about basketball and somehow the topic of the Final Four came up. And she says, she's not Northwestern. She says, oh, how many times has Northwestern made the Final Four?
Oh, God.
We're just like, ah, zero.
I guess she doesn't read Fireball Carmody too much.
No, apparently not.
No, yeah.
See, that was an interesting interaction because, you know, I went to that bar to meet up with him, and we talked via Twitter, and, you know, I sent him a text message, and I was on the green line, you know, you're at this bar. He says, yeah, I'm here, I'm at this table, whatever. So I get to the bar, and then I realize that I don't actually know what his name is. I only know him as Fireball Carmody.
Yeah.
Which means I have to go up to a table of Northwestern fans in this bar, all Northwestern fans, and I'm pretty sure which table it is, but not 100%. I have to go up and ask her.
The Fireball Carmody?
Is one of you the Fireball Carmody guy? Which was kind of awkward.
Did it work?
Yes, it did, but if it had been the wrong table, that would have
been confusing
really,
and awkward.
Really embarrassing.
Well, as the Sip It on Purple guy, at least I go by Roger, though. You know,
right,
it's
true.
As considering Loretta,
yes,
you are also in a similar circumstance.
Yes,
but
it was resolved pretty quickly. I showed up, and it was the right guy.
I was only in there at around.
Showed up, so it's all good after that.
Yeah, I was only in there at around 9 a.m. But maybe I think we had left by 10. But even then, it was, you know, packed with Northwestern fans. Very pleased with the Northwestern turnout in Boston. The disturbing thing is that, you know, maybe 5 times as many people were in Boston, which is in a different time zone from Northwestern, will be in Evanston on Saturday for Eastern Illinois. That's confusing, but I guess that's the way Northwestern football works.
Yeah, I think we'll be seeing plenty of empty seats.
Yeah, one of those where there's just like the picture from BHGP where they point empty seat here, empty seat here, empty seat here.
Right.
Yeah, which seat should I take?
Yes.
Yeah, Rebecca Black.
Although that was a shot from before. Although that was a shot from before a game, so it was kind of cheating. But I had to take a picture that could show the whole field. And I used my terrible MS Paint skills to put her head in there. Maybe we'll bring that one back on Friday this week.
Good choice of day when you're dealing with Rebecca Black.
Of course.
No, after going through the whole hype fest for BC. You know, starting off the season with a actual opponent for the first time in a long time. No offense to Vanderbilt and Towson and Syracuse, especially not Towson. We definitely got hyped up for BC, and now I guess there's kind of a relief in a lot of ways with Eastern Illinois coming up, and especially because, you know, the big source of anxiousness, I guess, was the Dan Persa situation. And right now, although eventually Northwestern's going to need Dan Persa, as of right now, I think Northwestern fans can sleep a lot easier having seen Kane Coulter perform.
Right.
What are your thoughts
Eastern
on that?
Illinois is obviously going to be a pretty easy game. And then Army the week after that, even though it's on the road, Army got taken behind the woodshed, being won by Northern Illinois. So I don't know how. They don't look like they're going to be particularly strong either.
Yeah, and but I do the one thing when we come back to the Persa story, which is the only story and the only thing anyone talks about and will continue to talk about forever and ever, a little bit less so this week, having seen Coulter, but you do kind of hope he can take some snaps before Big Ten play if he is going to be your starting quarterback. And if it's not this week, you know, then maybe it's not Army, then you're kind of dealing with, is it a good idea to throw, you know, Dan Persa, you know, I guess right in there to start off Big Ten play? I mean, it's sort of, like, I'm not worried about Kane Coulter right now, but I am sort of intrigued by what, you know, Pat Fitzgerald and the coaching staff are going to do in terms of easing in Dan Persa when he is finally ready to play.
Yes, it's going to be tough to figure out what to do, I think. He's already for sure out against Eastern Illinois, right? This and that. He's definitely not going to play.
On the depth chart, he's listed as the starter, co-starter with Kane Coulter. And they will release the injury report tomorrow, but it's looking like he won't play.
Right. And throwing him out there at Illinois, that's going to be that doesn't seem like – who knows what they're going
to
do.
Well, they're waiting for him to be medically ready. I assume, you know, they're not going to, you know, base it around the schedule, but I'd like to it's not a quarterback controversy, because I think even as well as Kane Coulter played, he's not Dan Persa. He does look like he'll be an extremely talented quarterback at some time, and he's already a pretty good quarterback, enough so to lead Northwestern over Boston College. But you know, how do you kind of segue in one starting quarterback who may or may not be up to game speed with, you know, the guy who got you the win week one?
Yeah, are they going to be splitting snaps at some point?
And
I think that would be a decent option against Army, but that doesn't sound like a great option at Illinois, because Illinois is going to be pretty good probably in this game, so...
In the past, when Northwestern, you know, thinking back to when C.J. Beshay was injured and then Mike Kafka came in and won a game, you know, then the next week Mike Kafka would come in for bits and pieces, and then the same thing happened with, to a lesser extent, with Dan Persa the year after that. I find it likely that, you know, Dan Persa might not play an entire offensive game all year. You know, just, you know, to give his, you know, ankle a little bit of, you know, I guess, you know, maybe he's not up to 60 full minutes of Big Ten football. It's going to be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah, is medically redshirting him an option?
No.
Next year?
As far as I understand the rule, right now, like, if a player is out on the injury report, you know, like, they physically aren't, you know, capable of taking the fields, that's one thing. But what's going on with Persa is he's, you know, I guess not fully 100% up to game shape, but he could hypothetically take the field. You know, he's only questionable on the injury report, so that wouldn't count. That's as far as I understand that rule.
Really?
Obviously, that would be, you know, I mean, you know, I guess that's not what Northwestern would want. Because they need Persa. Though they don't need him, obviously, having won week one and shattering the Persa Strong Heisman campaign in a little bit under 4 hours.
That's got to be the shortest Heisman campaign of all time. It's already drawing dead after week one.
Yeah, the dumbbells are falling into disuse already all across sports writers' desks in America. Not sure what they will do to promote the Coulter Fast campaign. Or the Trumpy, you know, above average, or whatever other hashtag we can come up with in the next 3 days.
Yes, I was doing my personal rhyming hashtags. I went on a roll on those.
Persa out. Persa,
yes,
you know.
Persa camps.
Persa questionable.
I'm kind of a man, but it kind of depends. If you ask all the women that I'm trying to convince, I'm a bit bitter because I didn't get her. Gotta go figure. Doesn't really matter. Gotta get the big scripture factor. Crucifixion back with twice the swag and a rap addiction. Measured out my life in treble clefs. Died, met God, still mad because I haven't met the devil yet. And all the patron saints are waiting, watching as I've gone to hell, injecting intravenously these toxins from the Taco Bell. My chicken burrito is dripping with ego. Red sauce on my face. I look like a Guido. I'm sick in the head, but sick in the bed. And I will repent for the shit that I've said. All the lies, I wanna be true, but that's what you're doing. There's nothing to do. I'm fucking your crew, and I'm younger than you, cause that's what I do when there's nothing to do. That and acid. But I always take a bath when my trip has stopped coming, cause mama says to clean up whenever I drop something in my room, just sock humping. But you know I'm not embarrassed that I leave these women drier than the wit of Dave Sedaris.
I'm not of the belief that looking past the FCS school is a good idea as a Northwestern fan, cause that sometimes, you know, comes back to hurt you. You know, nothing against the great state of New Hampshire, but Northwestern was probably looking past that game. And it is one of those situations where, you know, it's just another game for Northwestern, and, you know, it's like the biggest game of the year for the other team. But having right. taken a quick gander at the Eastern Illinois resume, I'm not particularly concerned. I'd like to see Dan Persa get a little bit of playing time in a, you know, a non-pressure, you know, game situation. You know, if there's ever a time for him to, you know, see some action, what better time than a game you don't really have to worry about losing, and he's probably not going to get, you know, brutalized if your right. offensive line is okay.
That New Hampshire game was very weird because that was Chip Kelly was the coach of that team, the Oregon coach now. And the thing about it was, it wasn't one of those games where a lot of times you'll see one of these upsets and it's because the FBS team turns the ball over a bunch of times and clearly has an off day. It was
they were just solidly beaten.
It was straight up beating from the beginning. I mean, New Hampshire was a better team. Like, they could have played 10 times in New Hampshire.
I believe they were the national champions at their or something like that.
I don't know if they were the national champions,
but they were like
definitely in the top five of FCS.
Yeah, that's pretty depressing. And it's not like
they
this
a receiver who was breaking Jerry Rice's records.
And it's not like this was in the 1980s. This was, you know, when Northwestern was losing every game. This was like 5 years ago when Pat Fitzgerald
right.
was, and obviously it was a bad situation, not a great team. But that's got to be a low mark. And I'm glad that Northwestern could establish its dominance in the New England region once again with a victory over Boston College.
Absolutely.
To show the northeastern part of the country and their lack of passion for college football that we run things in the Midwest.
Right. We took out Northeastern a few years ago. Now they dropped their football program.
They don't have a football program anymore?
No.
Wow, I guess Northwestern really did a man on that one. If you're losing, if you're a New England school and you lose to Northwestern, I guess you kind of have to scrap your program. BC has a couple years to go.
Right, they got a rematch next year.
I'm not sure if you saw this. But after that, if they lose two in a row, you might see the Massachusetts, you know, college football population, I guess, stick to Sundays. I'm not sure if you saw
the strong movement to fire the. There was a pretty strong fire Frank Spaziano movement on Twitter I saw after that game.
Boston College fans were really not BC Hysteria, who we had on the podcast last week, seemed genuinely depressed after the game. Losing to Northwestern, you know, still kind of has a cachet, I guess, for people, that it's a sign of imminent demise.
Especially Northwestern without their
the Heisman quarterback. The Heisman thing, we're going to have to move on from that as quickly as possible. It's nothing against Dan Persa as a quarterback and, you know, if he had played a full season, but if in the first week your team goes out and performs admirably without you against a decent team, you know, there's really no call for you to be a Heisman candidate, poor Dan Persa.
Right. I think his injury last year, as weird as it sounds, actually helped him become first team All Big Ten, if anything, just because of how bad the team looked without him.
Yeah.
Like, I think if he plays those last two games
and is mediocre
against Illinois, I mean, who knows? I'm sure he would have probably put up pretty good numbers against Illinois and then against Wisconsin, since he wouldn't have been able to handle J.J. Watt. He probably wouldn't have had good numbers in that one. I think if he plays both those games, that he gets fewer votes for first team all conference.
Well,
like Stansy or Pryor.
Yeah, if we're going into the hypothetical machine, which I suppose we are, if Dan Persa doesn't get hurt against Iowa last year on a game-winning touchdown, first of all, the reason he holds the Big Ten all-time completion record with 73-something percent is because, first of all, he didn't have to play, you know, those against Wisconsin or anything. And then in the last week of the season, in the bowl game against TCU, Scott Tolzien's completion percentage, like, dipped under because he didn't have a great game that day. Like, went from, like, 73 to 72% or something. And that gave Dan Persa the record.
Right.
So that's one thing. And another thing is, yeah, against Wisconsin, you know, I'm not sure how much Dan Persa would have helped.
He would have helped. I don't think it would have been. How many points did he get in the first half? 49? Or was it 56?
I have no recollection.
It was one of those two.
I try to pretend it never happened. Northwestern played 12 games last year, one of which happened to be a bowl game. I don't know how that happened. The Wisconsin thing we'll try not to talk about. They definitely put up 70 by the end of the third quarter and then did not score in the fourth quarter just to – it's almost kind of worse when you see that.
Yeah, what's with Wisconsin not running up a score anymore? I guess Bielema got too much grief after he put up 83 on Indiana. Now he's not doing it anymore. They did the same thing against UNLV, their opener.
Yeah, which helped my streak for the cash out, but it did make me a little bit sad for Brett Bielema's, you know, good old days when he would, you know, not hesitate to put up 97 or so points on a hapless UNLV team.
Yeah, going for two up by 24 with 6 minutes left in the game against Minnesota.
Yeah, that happened one time. That was not a hypothetical.
Yeah, he really did that. See, I would have more respect for him if he just come out and done what Woody Hayes did. Woody Hayes once went for two against Michigan in a spot like that where the game was basically over. And they asked him why he went for two, and he says, because I couldn't go for three. Now, like, you know, just sort of trash-talking to the rival I would respect, because Wisconsin and Minnesota, you know, they play for that axe. But afterwards, he's like, oh, the card told me to do it. Like, you know, if you're just going to run up the score, you got to own your running up the score. You know, you can't hedge it like that.
Yeah, and it's not like the and nothing against the axe, you know, but it's not the Ohio State Michigan, especially Wisconsin wins that probably pretty easily most years.
Yes.
That's just not nice. You can give them the axe every once in a while. If that type of thing happened in the Northwestern-Illinois game, like Northwestern could never ever play it off like, yeah, these are our bitter, hated rivals, and we need to show them that we can win by 26 instead of 25.
Right.
The hat is not worth it.
Yeah, the sweet suit tomahawk was a much better trophy.
Yeah, although it definitely fell into the axe category. The hat, it's better than the Iowa proposed trophy that never happened, the hat, but it is still just a gigantic Monopoly piece. And it's not even the best Monopoly piece. I'd much rather they play with the dog. Or there's a car, I think.
Yeah, the car is a good one.
I haven't played Monopoly since I was...
Thimble.
Oh, yeah. If we could play for a thimble, that would be awesome.
Then you could drink out of it like the Stanley Cup.
No, well, thimbles have holes in them, don't they? I think that's the point of thimbles. Like,
no, you could pour it into it and drink out the bottom. I mean, you could find a way, improvise.
Yeah, we'll work this out. I mean,
right.
you can hypothetically... Wait, is the hat... Huh.
It's like a bowler hat.
Well, here's the mistake they made. It's a huge mistake. And I'm talking to you, guy who, Bronze Smith, who made the Land of Lincoln trophy. If there had just been a hat, then it could have been Stanley Cup-esque, and it could have been used as some sort of party bowl. You could have put straws in it and drank out of it. But it's attached to a piece of wood on the bottom, so there's no place for any sort of beverages to be contained in the hat. This is disappointing. I blame you, random Chicago area, presumably Bronsmith. I'm gonna find you because
yeah,
I would like,
so good.
Yeah, I would like to see Gatorade dumped out of it, and then some sort of, you know, beverages being consumed at a later date out of the, and at least the tomahawk you can probably. I doubt it's very sharp, but you know it's still a tomahawk. I was watching Top. This I'm not sure what show this is. It's like some reality show on like the Discovery Channel or maybe the History Channel, where like basically it's people shooting stuff, and they were throwing tomahawks.
It's for the
yes.
guy from Survivor, right?
Yes,
Survivor.
They were throwing tomahawks last night, and
oh really?
Yes, they had tomahawks, knives, and rocks. It was really just like I cannot stop watching this show of people hurling primitive weapons at each other. Well, not at each other. That would be a show. But, like, a tomahawk can do some damage.
Yes.
The hat really has nothing going for it.
Yeah.
Lincoln, great guy, not a great trophy.
That's a terrible trophy. Get a... Yeah, you got to do something creative, you know, attention seeking.
Well,
trying to bring some hype to a rivalry like Northwestern Illinois. That no
it is creative.
About.
It's just, I don't know. It's just there was the tomahawk thing going on, and I guess they got rid of it because it's somehow, I guess, you know, politically incorrect. You know, I am thinking though. Now that we are initiating this weekend the first meeting between Northwestern and Eastern Illinois, which is also an in-state rival, you know, I think we should restore the Sweet Sue tomahawk and just continually beat the crap out of Eastern Illinois for the Lincoln hat. Because he's a... Like, Lincoln is all over Illinois, I presume, especially Eastern Illinois. I'm not really up on my Lincoln.
Me neither. I have no idea where.
But let's just pretend he's from Eastern Illinois. Restore the Sweet Sue tomahawk, because I fully support occasional casual political incorrectness when it comes to college football. They got rid of the chief.
Chief Alinewick.
Yeah. Who is just genuinely racist. But a tomahawk is... I'm not sure why we've been talking about the tomahawk for the past... Besides the whole Top Shot thing. The rocks was the best part. They had to throw them at window panes.
I thought the whole show was just shooting guns.
Well,
I didn't realize it was creative weaponry.
Apparently, they were all very confused by it. Like,
that sounds like a Survivor challenge.
It was the first time I'd ever watched it, this show. So I was, like, not aware that maybe this was, like, some, like major shift in the concept of the show. But
I mean, I've never seen it. I've only heard about it. It sounds like something that would involve shooting guns.
Then they had cannons also. They were really, like switched everything around. Anyway, this has been paid for by Top Shot, which...
Colby Donaldson sponsors the podcast.
Yeah.
Along with his, he's making up for his... I think he used to have a Gillette endorsement. He was big time.
I think they know that Northwestern fans are big History Channel buffs. You know,
yes,
it's really, if I had to, you know, pick a fan base that delves into, you know, the History Channel, although I find that like 90% of the shows on there are just like about like aliens or things that aren't actually historic or like throwing rocks at, you know, windows and actually don't have anything to do with history. I'm not a frequent History Channel watcher, I swear to God. Although, as this podcast continues, I appear to be convincing everyone that I do frequently watch it.
Right. There's definitely a fair amount of nerdery among the Northwestern fans. I remember one time there was a big Star Trek discussion in the comments. One of our posts.
On Sippin' on Purple?
On Sippin' on Purple. There was a big, I think this was last year, a big Star Trek discussion broke out.
I will not have this.
I think that's how it started, because you in the post made some breath joke about how, like, you don't like Star Trek, and everyone was like, what, you don't like Star Trek? Never seen Star Trek?
You guys are nerds, and I hate all of you.
Yes, there was someone made a reference where, like, it's freshman orientation, about four different people in his group made the same Star Trek joke at the same time, and he realized it was the perfect school for him, and I remember reading, just being like, oh my goodness, what's wrong with you people?
No, that's never happened to me. I don't know, maybe I'm at the wrong school. No, I'm not one of you people. I was saying that to anyone out there who has watched, you know, Star Trek. I've actually not seen all of the Star Wars movies, and I'm, like, kind of an outcast for that. I'll give you that. That's, like, a normal person thing. That's not even a sci-fi thing. But,
Are you talking about the original three or the?
I've seen all the original three, like, but I can't recall ever like sitting down and like watching one of them all the way through. I've just managed to somehow like see all of the parts at some point in time. The first three, I definitely haven't seen all of those. Just the part where he has to yell out "I hate you" when he's burning like alive, like Anakin Skywalker or whatever.
Right. I think I saw episode one. Definitely didn't see episode two. I'm sure I saw three just because whatever. I mean, everyone kind of wanted to see how he became Darth Vader, but it was kind of a letdown.
Somewhere out there, there's like a sad Eastern Illinois football fan who had tuned into this hoping to like hear like in-depth analysis of Eastern Illinois, just like disgusted and, like, angry at us.
Right. What do we know about Eastern Illinois? Tony Romo went there.
Tony Romo went there, as did John Malkovich. I believe he was a fullback for that team, along with Romo.
Played football?
No. I was just imagining a Romo-Malkovich backfield. Or, like, yeah. So Tony Romo went there. They had a their current coach is named Bob Spoo. And that's all I got right now. I'm going to have a post on it by the end of the week. But all I know right now is that the Spoo is going on. It's just
I tried to find the line for the game. I couldn't even find a betting line. I mean, if there's a betting line out yet, then that's...
I thought it was pretty general that FCS games against FBS teams didn't generally have lines. Is that a falsehood?
No, they have lines. You just got to know where to look. Like, certain sites have lines.
Oh, you have to find, like, the most degenerative gambling websites.
Exactly.
Like, these are, like, the same ones that have, like, lines on, like, Little League and, like... You know,
right.
Women's badminton and the Special Olympics and...
Oh, no, the sports book. There's all sorts of stuff that you can click on, like on the main sports book page on Five Dimes as a site. And they have all the things you can bet on.
What's the lowest thing you've ever gambled on? Or do you keep
events?
It safe? Yeah.
Sporting events? Just random prop bets. Yeah, I don't even want to, I'm trying to think. I've generally kept it pretty mainstream, I think.
I do streak for the cash, which they'll just throw up random things on there. If you're talking about, like, bets about dumb things, like, I'm all about that. I pretty much gamble on whatever life event is going on is worth having a dollar on. Like, whether it be, like, a game of pickup basketball or Iron Chef. If you've never bet on the Iron Chef, you haven't lived.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It makes... I'm telling you, people out there, you've got to be setting lines for this, giving odds. It's just a... I can't praise it enough.
Yeah, so I'm looking at this site, and all the things, it's got all the things you can bet on. It looks like you can bet on the lottery. I'm going to click more on this and see what exactly you can...
Isn't that just the lottery?
Oh, no, it's not. Oh, no, this is what it is. You can bet on if there's going to be a Powerball jackpot winner today.
You can bet on the lottery, which in itself, oh, my God.
Yes, you can bet on, you get plus 475 Powerball jackpot winner, no jackpot winner, minus 650.
The world is a wonderful, wonderful place. People are so good at taking other people's money.
It's pretty genius.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm just in awe of the universe right now.
I check it out. Yo, 1, 2. I check it out. Escape system. In the Bible says man should never covet, but in your life you put nothing above it. You seem to love it. Invest some stock to clock what's in my stable. Sweating me like Cain sweating Abel. You're unstable. You couldn't speak, now what's the fake smile for? The jealousy, that's why you're feeling so insecure. Used to be by my side, but now all I see is pride. On the quest for Big Lucci, got you open wide. It feels funny, cause it never used to be that way. Remember PR back in the day? Hey, the numbers change and the crypt's a little fatter. But if you was real, you see it really wouldn't matter. Check the stat, in fact, yo, don't ever try to beat this. And don't mistake my kindness for a weakness. The name is Pete Rock, I take you higher than the lism. I'm on the exodus. Escapism.
Back to our depressed Eastern Illinois fan. Let's say you were a sports book, a bookie of some sort for... FiveDimes.com, which is also not sponsoring our podcast. We're actually not affiliated with any gambling sites whatsoever, regardless of what Loretta's gambling interests are. Where would you be thinking Northwestern versus Eastern Illinois?
I don't don't know that much about Eastern, how bad Eastern Illinois is. Weren't they 2-9 last year or something?
Yeah, they were 2-9 last year, but okay, they're 1-0 already with a win over Illinois State, a nail biter. And last year we saw Illinois State, you know, wasn't really that close to Northwestern in terms of skill.
My guess would be about 28, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, it's you know, again, not to look past anybody, but, you know, when you come off beating a pretty good opponent on the road, and then you're, you know, I think Northwestern learned that lesson with the New Hampshire thing. Although, like you said, yeah, that team was probably worse than the team they lost to. But I don't think it's going to happen.
That team is definitely better than the Miami of Ohio team they played the first week. That was probably their second toughest conference game. I think they also played Eastern Michigan that year.
Yeah, that is one of the things that I'm a little bit pleased about this year. Last year, when did Northwestern play? I think it was 2 years ago. They played Eastern Michigan and Miami of Ohio.
They played Miami of Ohio in the middle of the conference season. It's terrible.
Yeah, and Eastern Michigan and Miami of Ohio, like, I think were both 0-11 or 0-10 and had a head-to-head game against each other, and one of them finished 1-11 and the other finished 0-12. And, like, those were Northwestern's two of Northwestern's out-of-conference opponents.
And like, both of them Northwestern struggled.
Like, back to talking about Boston College, they'll probably have more wins this year than Northwestern's entire, you know, FBS slate non-conference does most years.
Yeah, Boston College is a tough non-conference schedule, though. So they have Northwestern, they play Notre Dame every year.
Yeah, but even still, you know, yeah.
But yeah, there's some pretty bad teams in the ACC, though, with Duke.
Duke, oof. Duke, losing to Duke is about as bad as losing to an FCS team.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst loss of the Fitch Trail there by far, the Duke loss.
Even above New Hampshire? Well, yeah, I guess so.
No. Duke lost to Richmond last week. That's the third time Duke has lost to Richmond in the last 6 years.
Duke loses. Duke and Richmond is, like, similar to Northwestern Iowa. Except.
Yes.
Like, not to call ourselves the Richmond Spiders, but Duke and Richmond have a similar relationship to Northwestern and Iowa. Except I don't think Richmond could also beat Duke in basketball. Whereas Northwestern could hopefully easily handle Iowa in basketball.
Right, we're beating them 3 in a row now?
Yeah, something like that. Like, and when Northwestern does lose to Iowa, it's like, what is going on? Like, this is like another
big meltdown. I had a pretty huge meltdown on the site writing the recap of that last loss to Iowa.
They just got a. It was the fat guy, the fat 3-point shooter.
Just Brendan Kugel.
Oh my, yeah, I think he had like over 10 points, like just gunning from downtown.
Devin Bowwinkle also went nuts.
Yeah, Devin Bowwinkle. Wow. I don't think Richmond could do that on the court, but I would stop scheduling them if I were Duke.
Yeah, Richmond's good at basketball, though. They were in the Sweet 16 this year, weren't they?
Yeah, I would stop, but, you know, Duke.
Right off, yeah.
Consistently worse than Richmond at football. And you've also got, like, the Wake Forest and the... Although, you know, I am getting Wake Forest basketball and football confused. They're passable in football. They're not good, but, like, that should be a W for any Boston College team. I'm not sure if they're on the schedule. The ACC has some real duds.
I don't know the ACC divisions at all, and they've existed for like 6 years, and I don't have a clue.
Yeah, that's where I think we screwed up with the Legends of the Leaders, because, I mean, I guess it is more important to have, you know, the fans, I guess, of your conference know them and understand them, and there's kind of parity than to have everyone across the country know them. But Jesus Christ, the Atlantic and the Coastal conferences.
They both mean the same thing.
They both mean the same thing. The coast is the Atlantic coast. there is no other coast on the eastern side of the United
States. I'm actually going to look this up right now just to see what
the... No, nobody knows. If you ask the ACC commissioner right now, he would go, like, 11 out of 12. Which actually wouldn't be possible, but 10 out of 12.
Well, if he was dumb and he guessed 7.
Yeah, and one. Yeah. But you get my point. Like,
I want to say it's somewhat based on geography.
No, it's not.
I think it's...
It has nothing to do...
It is a little bit, isn't it? I want to say VC's in a division with Virginia Tech... Clemson, maybe Florida State, Maryland.
All right, here's a fun one.
No, I was totally wrong. I was wrong.
It's not even worth trying.
Yeah.
Eastern Illinois, like, though. Could you give me a conference on that? Can you identify Eastern? You are listening to two experts debating Northwestern football right here. Can you tell me what conference Eastern Illinois is in without looking?
It's one of two. I think it's either the Missouri Valley or the Ohio Valley.
But you see, I think your instinct right here is now to think of basketball, where the Missouri...
Right, I know it's different. I know that's not the same.
It's... Yeah, you're right, actually. The Ohio Valley has, like, a different... It's all just very confusing. It's in the Ohio Valley.
The Ohio Valley
in
basketball is all schools named Tennessee. I know that much.
Yeah, yeah. Except
it's all
that...
Like Tennessee State, Tennessee Tech, Tennessee Martin.
Yeah. Yeah, this came up in the Never Been to the Attorney post, where just general confusion about the...
Right, that's where Murray State is in that one, right? And they usually win it. Is Murray State somewhere else?
Yeah, yeah, Murray State is in that one. And, like, Belmont, I think?
Belmont's in the... some other one.
This is why college sports is, like, alternately the worst thing ever and the best thing ever. Like, this, like, general, like, maelstrom of conferences that no one understands, and, I mean, I can tell you all the schools and all the power conferences. I can do decently on the divisions and, you know, the ones that matter. But sometimes it just doesn't make any sense, and this is one of those times when...
Yeah, Belmont's in the Atlantic Sun.
The Atlantic Sun.
North Florida.
The Ospreys.
Almost made the tournament. By almost, I mean lost by about 50 to Belmont in conference championship.
Yeah, that was an exciting time. Goodbye, Northern Colorado. We'll miss you.
Oh, yes. They were the only one that made it, right?
Yeah. I hope they write us a letter sometime.
Yeah. So, the basketball schedule was just released today. Should we want to talk about that at all?
I don't think anyone wants to talk about the basketball schedule.
No one wants to talk about the basketball schedule.
They did the same thing again where it's absurdly front-loaded. For Northwestern,
yes.
There's no games on CBS.
Games against Penn State or on ESPNU.
Yeah, because, I mean, national interest.
Right. Hopefully this will finally be the year they beat Penn State, because Penn State is going to be atrocious.
Yeah,
if they get swept by Penn State again, I think that's going to be a sign that it's going to be time for a coaching change.
Well, they can't because, the mind taker is gone. Ed DeCellis over to Navy.
Yes.
Finally.
Was it Ed DeCellis or was it Penn State? Was it some other?
Yeah. I suppose what we're going to find out is whether it's the evil hex that Ed DeCellis has or whether it's, you know, the Happy Valley air that, you know, drives Bill Carmody wild. We'll soon know. And the entire world will find out with us as it's broadcast on ESPNU. Catch the excitement. We also
the conference opener at Ohio State.
Oh my god!
At least you get that out of the way early. You know,
if Jared Sollinger doesn't go pro after this year, I'm gonna like illegally boost him. I'm gonna like start giving him money to make him ineligible and tell everybody.
People speculated about that. If you're a super rich fan of a college team, you know a lot of these guys they throw money at their own players or hookers or whatever else they do, but. Wouldn't it be a more practical investment to throw money at your rival and then rat them out and then just get everybody else suspended?
Yeah, but I think it would be like a sting operation. Like, I would have to shut down the blog. First, I'd have to become a wealthy billionaire. Or maybe millionaire. I'd prefer billionaire. Then I'd have to shut down the blog so it doesn't look like I'm a Northwestern fan. And then I'd have to start, you know, giving Jared Sollinger, you know, whatever he desires for a few weeks. Not in that way. Me and Jared Sullinger are not a thing. Just putting that out there.
Although he has lost a lot of weight. Have you seen that? He's like ripped now. He's lost all the baby fat. He's just pure muscle. He's like Trevor and Bachley body now. It's really
terrifying. We both said terrifying at the same time. This is really just not a good sign. And then we'd be through with him. The one plays, if I'm not mistaken, Nebraska, Indiana, Wisconsin, MSU.
Yes.
You hate to see Nebraska and Indiana on that list, because that's...
Right, especially Nebraska. Indiana might be improved
this year. That's...
Delamania finally coming to town.
I see that, and I think that's one win off the board.
Right, especially since it's at Indiana, so one time to play. I think that's going to be tough. Indiana at home is going to be tough, but they're still...
I feel like pointing out that if the one Eastern Illinois fan is still listening into this podcast, he's contemplating suicide at this point. he does not care about the Big Ten conference schedule. He might care about the Ohio Valley conference schedule if that's the conference Eastern Illinois plays in.
Have the basketball up. Where is Eastern Illinois? Are they in the valley?
They're in a valley.
Not the valley.
They're in a valley.
Basketball. Yes, they are in the Ohio Valley in both football and basketball.
Yeah, I knew there was a valley somewhere. I'm not sure which valley it was. I'm also pretty certain that Illinois State, or... Oh, God. That's where it is. If you heard a gunshot at some point while you were listening to this podcast, it was the Eastern Illinois fan actually shooting himself over me calling them Illinois State just now. But my point is...
Osiris Eldridge was not happy.
Yeah. Wow, you pulled that one out.
Osiris Eldridge was the man. The Mohawk, that dude was awesome.
And his name is Osiris.
Right.
I've always wanted to name my child after an Egyptian god of some sort when he eventually, you know.
Wasn't there an Osiris in the Matrix?
Morpheus, which is the Greek.
I'm pretty sure there was an Osiris somewhere involved.
I think it was one of the ships.
Yes, could be, or one of those weird people.
Yeah, there was the Merovingian, which is the most most obscure reference in the history of sci-fi movies, presumably. Like, the Merovingians were an obscure line of French kings in the 600s. For those of you, the more you know, just thought you'd like to know. I've always thought...
Those Matrix guys, weird guys.
Yeah, Osiris would be a good one, And Osiris Eldridge is really good. Well, didn't he wear Zero? Was he a Zero wearer?
I'm not sure. I never know guys' numbers in basketball. I don't know. I'm not really sure why.
Eastern Illinois, on the other hand, does not have a basketball... I can't recall Northwestern playing them in basketball.
I can't either. I generally remember most of these numbers.
We're really launching into a brave new world with the Panthers.
Right.
How
about the Texas Pan American game in basketball? Big Ten Network, national televised.
There has to
be Texas Pan American game. No streaming audio, none of that stuff. No weird student announcers that love Northwestern. Straight up on the national broadcast.
I'd like to give a round of applause to whoever is in charge down there at University of Texas Pan American. They just know how to get it done when it comes to, this rivalry that we've built up with Northwestern. We need a trophy, Northwestern UT Pan American, to whoever wins the game every year.
Wait, we are playing Eastern Illinois in basketball.
We are?
Yeah, December 18th.
They're going.
Another nationally televised BTN game. No streaming audio.
Wow, I feel pretty... I did look over the schedule a bunch of times, but I didn't. I must have mentioned
bizarre three games in 4 days stretch.
Yeah. But I can't recall it ever happening before. I guess we're really starting out. It's sort of like... It's really... We're entering into this, bitter hate feud with EIU. And I hope the Panthers bring it. I want to make Tony Romo cry.
Right, more than Jessica Simpson did. Or did he dump Jessica Simpson? I'm not up.
Somebody jumped some. I wouldn't have dumped Jessica Simpson in 2007 or 8 or whenever this was. If Tony Romo did, he's a stronger man than I.
Right.
Mainly because I was, you know, like in high school in like 2006, 2007. And that probably would have been a very intriguing relationship with Jessica Simpson. But Tony Romo certainly... is it kind of sad that when we think of Tony Romo, like, the two things that jump to my mind, and this is a guy who's, you know, been a Pro Bowl quarterback, you know, Cowboys have been to the playoffs, he's like a pretty high-drafted fantasy quarterback because he has a lot of good receivers. Like, the two things my mind immediately jumps to are him fumbling a snap and him, you know, dating, you know, like... Or someone whose like reality TV show was pretty famous back in the day, and also was a singer.
Now that makes sense. I think those are definitely the two. Also, when Terrell Owens crying after the loss in the playoffs.
So that's my quarterback.
That's my quarterback.
Yeah,
it's probably a horrendous imitation. But
no, yeah, that sounded eventually. That could not have sounded any less like Terrell Owens. But you can work on it. We've got a lot of episodes of the podcast to go. Okay. So we've covered very little ground, but let's cut to the chase here. Northwestern, Eastern Illinois, you're predicting a win, I assume.
Yeah, obviously.
This is the worst day of this Eastern Illinois fan's life. We are just crapping on his school endlessly.
This undefeated Eastern Illinois Panthers.
Yeah. One of the best squads in all of Eastern Illinois.
They took out the Redbirds week one. That's what Illinois State is, right?
Yep. No, we had them last year. Yeah, I can remember that. Yeah.
Yes.
This is another...
Their fans got very mad at you.
I could actually tell... Yeah, they were furious. I haven't heard anything from EIU. The other thing I need to mention about Eastern Illinois is that former Iowa quarterback Jake Christensen was their quarterback for a year. That's the extent of my EIU football knowledge.
Really?
Yes. But I would also...
That guy was terrible in Iowa. He still beat Northwestern.
Not all the time. I think he was their quarterback in 2008 when the Northwestern beat them. Maybe I'm wrong.
I thought Stanza started that game. I know he was a lefty, and he played in 2007. That was the one time Fitzgerald was favored over Iowa, and he lost to them. And Christensen... through some touchdown passes. It's not good.
I would also...
A bad Iowa team. And a bad Northwestern team. It's not a very good game.
I would also predict a win. Like I said earlier, I'm hoping to see Dan Persa, you know, a little bit, just to, I guess, know that he's in game shape and, you know, will be ready to play in a few weeks against, you know, Big Ten teams. If not, you know, so be it. Hopefully the walk-in surgency can also, you know...
Right, I'm sure he'll get some run in the second half. Also, I'd like to see Colter run a lot, get a lot fewer than 23 carries in this game. Because,
yeah, I don't want to see him get
a pretty serious beating. I think fewer than 10 carries would be ideal.
I mean, the IU doesn't have any Luke Kuechly's, no 17-foot-tall, Gigantor-esque players ready to kill him, but, you know, still, you don't want to see him taking hits. You want
this box score for Eastern Illinois. They got a quarterback is Jay Garoppolo. No word of feast related to Janine Garofalo. But he had a huge day. 25 to 34, 344 yards, 3 touchdowns.
There will be a post on their actual team eventually on the site.
Just surfing the internet here. It's
you know, really...
Fantastic.
Yeah. It's not a good sign for, like, our podcast that even you're not fully paying attention to it.
I'm paying attention.
No, I mean, like, that you're, like, also search... like... I feel bad for people listening over and over again. But yeah, you know, you just want to get in and out without any injuries and don't get embarrassed and, you know, end up losing or even hopefully have it close.
Assuming the spread is around 28, I'd be tempted to pick Eastern Illinois against the spread just because Pat Fitzgerald really takes his foot off the gas in these blowouts. Like he did that last year against Illinois State in the second half. It was just three runs punt.
you know, Tyrus Jones is going to get some carries.
Yeah.
So that's...
Who are some of the other backup running backs? I can't remember. Is that guy Alex Daniel? The much-discussed Alex Daniel, is he gone?
I believe he's not on the team. I believe he graduated. But he might pop up again in, like, 2015 as a backup running back and be like, yeah, he's not suspended anymore, and it'll all make sense. I don't really know. But, yeah, that's pretty much what I'm looking for. And you got any final thoughts on the upcoming EIU Panthers, you know, showdown?
No, I got nothing other than just looking at this box score, which I've already sent up.
Yeah, we pretty much discussed the entire
Garoppolo. Thing. Uh-oh. If Chase Reddick can pick apart the secondary, then...
Who knows what?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, if he has anything like Janine Garoppolo's trademark wit and general lack of me finding her interesting at all.
The only thing I remember of Janine Garoppolo's is the... Just that one Sopranos episode she was in. Do you remember?
No. Occasionally. I just remember being generally annoyed. And I hope Jay Garoppolo?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
I hope he's nothing like that.
Right. No, it was really funny because she played herself in the Sopranos. It was when Christopher was trying to get involved in the movie business and he was hanging around with Jon Favreau and stuff. And went to a movie shoot involved her. And I don't know what the role for profanity on this podcast is, but I'm not going to say it. Basically, like, Christopher just called her a very bad word, and that's what I remembered as. That's what because at first it had to do with her character, and then later he comes back and finds her, and he just calls her by that, sort of told her to see you next Tuesday, if you know where I'm going with this.
I don't understand. It's very confusing and went over my head.
Maybe some people will get this.
No, yeah, I got you, but for the sake of...
Basically, he just calls her that a bunch of times, and that's really all she does in the Sopranos.
Anyway... To the lone Eastern Illinois fan, I feel sorry for making you listen.
Yeah. See you next Tuesday, buddy.
No, he's a nice guy. He's a great guy. Eastern Illinois
resist.
Fan. All right. It's been episode 3, and you're still listening, which means you have problems. Catch you next week. And record.